Book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 58. We're honored to have you here this morning if you're a first time visitor. Hallelujah. Good to see you this morning. Touch your neighbor and say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you're there, say amen. Isaiah 58, verse number 11. It says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." In other words, God's going to take care of you. Amen. Verse 12, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Father, thank you this morning for the awesome privilege to be in your house. God, we're not here this morning just to be here for another routine service. Father, we need your presence this morning, Lord. And Father God, as we worship you, as we praise you, as we give you glory, as a consequence of our worship, Father, we ask that you speak to us, Lord. God, it is your word, God, that settles us. It is your word that establishes us, Lord. It is your word that causes us to stand and grow into the mature Christian you called us to become. We thank you and we worship you. We thank you that Satan is bound and defeated by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that in Christ's name. Would everyone say amen? Hallelujah. This is the word that the Lord has laid on my heart. We're going to title it this morning. Somebody just say, first love. Verse number 12, it says, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations." In other words, something for the next generation to stand on. A firm foundation, something they can rely on, something that's steadfast, something that they can always have to be steady. Somebody say amen. "Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." I was back home this weekend very briefly, had to run some errands back home, and I was just out on my mom and dad's lake, just walking, spending time with God, just silence. I love it. It's just no noise, no cell phone, no TV, just me and G-O-D. Amen? And I was just walking down through there, walking across the levee, just talking to God. And I know in my heart God spoke to me. It's just something special. If you look in the Old Covenant, you'll find that God likes, He likes to have a meeting place and He likes to continually meet there, right? Think about it. Isn't there a place in your life when you can go and spend time with God? And it's just like automatic, the presence of the Lord. You see, that place means a lot to me because years ago when I was 18 years of old, just came back to God, just got saved, delivered, baptized in the Holy Spirit, all that wonderful stuff. That's where God began to shape me. That's where God began to mold me. Now, God's still shaping me and God's still molding me because I still got a long ways to go. But what I'm saying was that was my starting point. Amen? That was the place where I learned how to talk to God. That was the place where I began to learn how to hear the voice of God. And God spoke in my spirit very plain because I was like, you know, Lord, when I'm here, it's just like His presence seems to always show up quick. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's in my mind or what. But what it is, that's where it all started. Amen? That's where it started for my relationship with the Lord. Now, I got saved in a church, but that's where I hung out. I spent a lot of time just walking around. I had my cane like Moses. I wasn't Moses, of course, but I just had my cane just walking around with God, just hanging out with the Lord. And that's where God began to speak to me. That's where God began to give me ideas about ministry and all different kind of things, speaking in my heart. And God spoke to me. God let me know, I want you to hear this. Sometimes in order for us to go forward, we must go back to the starting block. Think about that now. Sometimes in order to go forward, we got to go back. Now listen to me. Of course, I'm not talking about going back to your sin, no. I'm not talking about going back to your past because the Bible says, if you're saved, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So of course, that's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is going back to the place, going back to the place where it started with you and God. Do you know where that place was? I hope so. But that place, the place of the starting block, the place where you and God begin to cultivate your relationship. Because listen to me, the moment you got saved, you didn't have a relationship with God. It's something that we develop. And even today, if you're saved, we're still developing that relationship, right? I've been walking with the Lord for almost 15 years and I'm still cultivating. I'm still learning how to hear His voice. I'm still learning how to please Him. I'm still learning all types of things. But God wants us to learn that we must go back to the starting block. Go back to the place where it began, because that's the place where God really began to push us forward. Back to the place, think about it, back to the place where His presence was so real to you. Come on now. Sometimes we get caught up in church and we learn how to do church, but we miss presence a lot of times. Come on now. You know us folk in the South, we know how to do church, we know how to do all that, but listen to me, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what God created the church for, not just a place for us to come and go, but a place for God to meet with man and man to meet with God, for us to receive fresh revelation and fresh impartation, to take that to our homes, to take that to our jobs, to take that to our schools, to take that to our colleges, to impact the society with that which we have received from the Lord through relationship. Amen? It's all about relationship. It's not about religion. God spoke to me when I first started in ministry. He said, son, it's not about religion. It's about relationship. There are people all around the world. They can do religion. Come on, now they can do church. They can tell you where they go to church. Now they may not ever go but once every 6 months, but they can tell you where they go when they go, right? They can tell you when they were baptized. They can tell you when they were saved. All that wonderful stuff. But listen to me. God wants us to cultivate and develop relationship with Him. It's about His presence. Let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Are we hungry for the presence of the Lord? Or are we just content to be saved? Are we just content to be involved in ministry? Because listen to me. We can be involved in ministry and not have impact. Because impact comes through relationship. Oh, hallelujah. It comes through spending time with God. Hallelujah. I saw a precious friend of mine that I've had the privilege to preach at his church. I preach at his church more than any other church I've ever preached at. I preached I don't know how many times. Precious guy. He's only 2-3 years older than I am. But he's got, man, I look up to him because he's got such a close walk with the Lord. I saw him here recently, hadn't seen him in a couple of months, and when I saw him immediately, I just saw the glow of God. I'm like, man, that dude, he's not changed a bit in one aspect, but in the other, he's changed a whole lot. Just saw the glow of the glory of God on his life. But you know why? I know that guy. That guy is consumed by the presence of the Lord. He loves God. He loves his family. He loves his church. And he loves the city of Fulton. Now listen to me. That's what God wants to be on us. God wants it when you go to your job, they're like, what's different about you? What's that different I see on you? You don't have that same old nasty attitude you used to have. Don't shout me down while I'm teaching right. There's something different about you. There's a bigger smile on your face. You see, there's times you're going to be smiling and not even realize it. Amen? You can be smiling and not even realize you're smiling. It's because, like he talked about, there's a song in your heart. There's something on the inside of you. Think about the times when you just got along with God. And hopefully this is recently, but think about the times you've gotten along with God. And maybe had some prayer music playing and you allowed the phone to ring and you let the TV, you turned the TV off and you said, husband or wife, I'm going to the back, I'm going to see God, I'll see you after a while. If somebody calls, tell them I'll call them back. And you got along with God and God's presence began to be so real to you. And in that moment, nothing else mattered. Are you hearing me today? You see, God wants His church to get back to the point to where nothing else matters but the presence of God. Not doing church, not doing services, because listen to me, when we have that relationship with the Lord, the other stuff is going to flow through our lives. Ministry is just going to happen because you can't snuggle up to Jesus and not love people. Amen? You can't snuggle up to Jesus and not have an impact in your life. And there are people all around us, they're sick of church. They're sick of our facades. They're sick of hearing about this and that. They want to see Jesus in manifestation. Amen? There's churches all around us. There's almost churches
Not on every corner, but there's a lot of churches in Forest, I'm sure. I don't know how many, but I'm sure there's a lot. There's a lot in the surrounding areas. But listen to me. The world needs to see us when we've been locked up in the press of the Lord, because that's what's going to impact their life. Not because we can sing good, not because we can maybe teach good, or maybe we can preach good, or maybe we have good dance or good drama or good presentation or a nice building or a nice bus or all that kind of stuff. They need to see somebody that's been locked within the presence of God, that has come out with the Shekinah glow of God on their countenance. Come on, somebody. Just like Moses, when he went on the mountain of God, he came down, the people were afraid of him. Now, I understand that was a different time, a different era, and they couldn't get as close to Moses, but if you listen to their heart, they didn't want to anyway. They had no desire to get that close. They wanted to serve God from afar. Man. You see, God doesn't want us to walk with Him from afar. It's just like Adam when he was in the garden. The Bible says that he would walk with God in the cool of the day, right? And when Adam sinned, God came back looking for what? Relationship. And Adam was hiding. He said, "Adam, where are you, Adam?" He said, "God, I'm hiding because I'm afraid." Listen to me. God didn't come to look for Adam because He wanted to judge him. God came looking for Adam because He wanted time with Adam. He wanted relationship. He wanted fellowship with God, with Adam. That's why God came back. It wasn't to say, "Adam, you horrible sinner, I want to smite you in the ground." No. He came longing for fellowship with His creation. And so many times we get used to coming to church. We get used to coming in. Well, we know what they're going to do. They're going to sing a song. Then they're going to do the offering. Then they're going to do this and this and this. And we get caught up in the routine. And we miss our opportunity for invitation. Come on now. Because listen to me. When we are longing for that connection with God, nobody has to say, "Would you please raise your hands and praise the Lord?" It just comes natural. It just comes natural because, one, you're thankful unto God. Is there anybody thankful today? You see, I don't have to look far back over my shoulder and I remember the mess that I was in when Jesus found me. I don't have to look back very far and remember what those chains were like in Egypt. You see, when we begin to realize how good God has been and we trace our steps and we're like, "If it were not for the grace of God, there is no way in a million wonders I would ever be saved or ever be where I'm at." It is all by the sheer grace and the goodness of Jesus. Somebody say yes. Listen to this. Raise the foundations of many generations. Oh, Jesus, something sturdy for generations to come. Our kids, your grandkids, they need to see seek on your life. What I mean by that is they need to see that the seek of God is on you. Meaning that you're hungry for the Lord, because listen to me, it will rub off on them. Some that aren't saved, it will convict them, right? They won't want to be around you. I remember when I was not serving God, I don't want to be around certain people because their lifestyle convicted me and they didn't have to say anything. I didn't want to get near them. I would avoid them. Y'all act like I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, somehow I used to run, "Get away here. Here comes so-and-so. Get away from them. They're going to talk about Jesus. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Let me enjoy my six-pack. Let me leave me alone." Am I right? For sure. But somewhere along the way, you bumped into the goodness of Jesus. Come on now. What happened was you saw relationship on them. You saw peace on them. You saw joy unspeakable and full of glory. You saw them face hell. And you saw the goodness of Jesus bring them through hell. You saw them face more difficulty. And they came out the other side. And you wonder, how in the world are you going such through great opposition and still standing? And they would smile real big and say, "It's all because of the goodness of Jesus that I'm even where I am today." generation needs to see it. Somebody said they need to see it. Going back to where our new life began in Christ. The freshness, the overwhelming of His presence, the all of His goodness. Let's go back for a moment. Think when you got saved. Some of you, that's been a long time ago. Some of you, that may be just a few weeks ago, and that's awesome. Glad you're in the family. And if you're not in the family, today's a good day to get in the family, right? But think about the overwhelming awe that you had when Jesus gloriously saved you. You know that commercial, my wife hates this commercial, but where they eat the Starburst and they have these big grins on their face. Have you seen that? My wife hates that commercial. What I'm talking about is there was a smile that came over you. Amen? There was joy in your soul. You felt a million pounds of weight roll off your shoulders. You see, guys, I remember that night when Jesus came back in my life and I raised my hands. I literally felt chains fall off my wrist. Some say, you're crazy. I know what happened. I felt chains fall off my wrist. I felt a million pounds fall off my shoulders because of the goodness of Jesus. And guys, if we're not careful along the way, even in our midst of doing good, even in our midst of doing all these wonderful things, if we're not careful or cautious, we will lose that sense of awe of who God really is. And church just becomes church. If we feel like going, we go. If we don't, then we don't. No big deal. God's merciful. Hallelujah. Don't shout in the devil when I'm teaching right. Amen. It becomes optional. Well, I've had a busy day. I'm not going to go to church today or tonight. The amens are getting weaker. But remember when you first got saved, you couldn't wait to get to church. You were saying, Pastor, can we start another prayer meeting? Can we have a Bible study? Can we have this service? Can we have this? It's because there was awe. There was freshness on the inside of you. And you wanted more than what you had. And listen, let's talk to us. Let's be honest. Isn't it easy to get comfortable? Because you are saved. You are blessed. You are joyful. And if we're not careful, we'll get content. Which is a horrible word because it leads to complacency, which causes us not to go forward. And hear me, if we're not going forward, which way are we going? You see, we need to be able to look back over our life every year, every few months, and see change in our life, change in our relationship. Our love for God ought to be stronger. Our love for our spouse ought to be stronger. Our love for ministry ought to be stronger. Not failing and fainting. Well, I feel like starting this ministry, Pastor, I'm going to start it for 6 months. You do it and then, well, I just don't feel like I need to do it no more. Come on now. No, I understand trying something to see. I understand that. Not all the time everything works like you want to. I understand that. But sometimes we just get a case of the lazies. Y'all don't want to help me today. But we'll work 10 and 12 hours at work and won't complain about that. Y'all hating on me? Amen? Listen to me. Understanding that what we do is not for us, it's for Jesus. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Amen. Now again, understand what I'm saying. There are times where you start something and it doesn't fly. I understand that. Trust me, I understand that. But I'm talking about when something is going and we just quit because we get lazy. Come on. Jesus wants us to be more committed to Him than anybody else. I love Lisa Kenner with all my heart, but she's not my number one. And she knows that, and she's content with that. Because she knows there's no way I can love her right if I don't love Him right. Come on now. And besides that, it's called idolatry. Anything before Jesus is what? Come on now. You got some people, they'll put their kids before God. Come on. Amen. It's God, family, church, right? Somebody say God, family, church. And you see, if we're not careful, those that are involved heavily in ministry, if we're not careful, we'll let ministry get the priority over God, which becomes what? Idolatry. Amen. And that's a fine line to work at. Trust me, I work at it because it's something that I must deal with because I'm in full-time ministry. And sometimes we can get so busy doing God's stuff, we forget about the God of the stuff. Amen. And what happens is, you get tired. I've heard this phrase for years, and I hate this phrase because I can't find it in the Bible, but I hate this phrase. I've heard for years, when I first started the ministry, I did ministers say, I'm burnt out. How can we burn out if God's an all-consuming fire? I may burn out, but He doesn't. Come on now. What happens is we try to do God's work in our flesh. And we can't do God's work in our flesh. It won't work. It doesn't matter how gifted you may be. It doesn't matter how much talent you may have. If we don't allow the Spirit of the Lord to do the stuff, we will wear out. We cannot do ministry without the presence of Jesus. It's impossible. We'll get tired. We'll get weary. We'll run down. Absolutely. Now listen to me. I understand everybody needs rest. Trust me, I understand that. I'm fixing to go get some rest in a month or so. I understand that, but listen to what I'm saying. It's not vacating the presence of God, right? It's saying, God, everywhere I go, everything I do, I need Your presence. You know what Moses said? He said, Lord, if Your presence doesn't go with me, God, don't make me go. Paraphrase him, but that's actually what he meant. Brother John, he was saying, God, if Your presence is not going with me, I don't want to go. Amen. Because trust me, I've been places through the years in ministry. After I left, I'm like, Lord, was I even supposed to be there? Period. Amen. Somebody say amen. Because listen to me, when presence is activated, people get ministered to. It just happens. Amen. When God's presence comes in a room, you remember Sunday before last, we had two services where it was just no preaching of the Word. It was just Brother Trent and the praise team were leading worship, and you remember people just began to come to the altar. You see, when God's presence comes near, people just get moved on by God. People that have hard hearts. I'm telling you, I had a hard, rebellious, stubborn, prideful heart when God found me. And it took the presence of God to melt all that hardness and rebellion, and I don't want God, and I don't want church, and I don't want ministry, and I don't want to sacrifice. But the presence of God can melt that. I have seen people before that were so hard and see God's presence bump up against them, and big tears begin to run down their face, and the very ones that said, I'll never bow my knee to God, you'll find them on their knees with snot all over their face crying out to God, because when people feel the real presence of God, there's nothing like it in the world. Come on, give Him praise. There's nothing like it in the world. Jesus, help me. Isaiah 61 verses 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Somebody say presence. They shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. It's all in presence. It's all in presence. Somebody say it's all in presence. Listen to this. The Scripture says in Psalm 69 and verse 9. This is the words of the Lord. This is Jesus. It says, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Talking about the Father's house. You know how when Jesus was on the earth, He made this statement. I can say it because it's in the Bible, but I can't say it for myself because I'm not there yet. But Jesus said, "I do always the things that please Him." Isn't that a big old mouthful right there? We can read that verse and say, "You go, Jesus, with your bad self." Amen. Because we ain't there yet, right? I know I got a long ways to go. But He was saying, "The zeal of my Father's house had eaten me up." He was so passionate about doing what the Father wanted. In fact, when He walked in the temple one time, they had the money changers and all that kind of stuff. Jesus came in and started turning tables over. The awesome, humble, compassionate Jesus said, "This is my daddy's house. This ain't going to work up in here, right?" Started turning over tables. Don't you know that threw them for a loop? They're like, "Jesus, did you have a bad day?" Because He was consumed to please the Father. He was consumed. The Scripture said that He was, "The zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up." In that aspect, saints, the Father wants us to be eaten up by our love for Him. He wants us to be consumed by the desire to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Guys, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. If our joy level is low, it's because we're not locked up in presence. Amen? If our fire is not burning, it's because we're not locked up in presence. Amen. His presence is what we need more than anything. Guys, I love ministry. I love to preach the gospel. I love to minister. But more than anything, His presence is what we need. You see, long before God ever called me to preach, He called me to be a worshiper, right? Whatever your title may be, God may have called you to be a Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be. But long before God called you to do anything else, He called you to be a pursuer of His presence. His presence. That's what makes a house a home. That's what makes a man and a woman a marriage. That's what completes families. It's the presence of the Lord. That's why many times you'll see pastor as he's preaching, he'll have tears running down his face. It's because he's in presence. And he don't care that he's weeping. He's in presence, and that's what he wants. Amen? Presence is what we need. Presence is what our youth ministry needs. Presence is what our kids ministry needs. Presence is what our senior ministry needs. Presence is what every ministry on the planet needs. It's the presence of Jesus Himself. Because you can't manufacture presence. We can turn the speakers wide open and jar your bones. And we can all jump, and that's great because you know me, I'm going to jump. That's just how I roll. But the thing is this, presence, when presence comes in the room, everybody knows it. Unless their heart is so hard that they've resented it. Now, if you push Him away, one thing about Holy Spirit, He is a perfect gentleman. He will never invade your life without you saying, "Come in," right? Somebody say amen. Listen to this. Often people that are laid back and maybe even mediocre, they are until you touch the one thing that they're passionate about and they come alive. Like a heat-seeking missile, they awaken. There are some, they don't care about God, but they've got an area in their life that they're very passionate about. And whatever that thing is, you better not mess with it or they will go off on you. Amen? Because that's their passion. That's what they love more than anything. Now listen to me. God wants us to be like that about His presence. Amen? Like a heat-seeking missile, we desire to commune with Him. We desire to have time with Him more than anything or anybody else. Somebody say yes. Listen to this. Passion for the Lord would take us places and cause us to do things that we would have never done without. Passion. There's a guy that I know, he's several years younger than I am, but man, this dude is so touched of God. He's so hungry for the Lord. He's got such a humility on his life. I've been in service with this dude before and he'd be jumping and dancing and I'd look and I wouldn't see him. And he'd be on the floor, crawled up in a ball, just seeking God. Not trying to cause a show. He's not laying on the floor because he wants somebody to look at him. He's already got somebody looking at him. That's why he's on the floor, right? The presence of Jesus. And every time I'm around this guy, though he's younger than me, there's a hunger in him. This guy's been through hell backwards. Been through all kinds of stuff that I won't talk about because that's his story. But there's something in him that craves the presence of God. And he has this quote that he says all the time, and I love it. It doesn't sound pretty, it doesn't sound eloquent, but I get what he's saying. Many times when he starts service, he said, this is a place where you can come and go after God with all your guts. It don't sound pretty, but I know what he's talking about. He's talking about what the Scripture says, deep calls unto deep. Are you hearing me? Deep calls to deep, meaning the depth of who we are is crying out to Him, saying, come Holy Spirit, saying, if you don't touch me, Lord, I can't stand. If you don't touch me, I can't function. If you don't touch me, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Come on, somebody. Presence. The sheer presence of the Lord. An intensity, a passion for Him. There are people that are great athletes. They'll put their bodies through they'll beat their bodies into submission. These football players, I remember years ago, Jerry Rice, the greatest wide receiver ever, bar none, ever. He had the most extraneous workout of anybody I've ever heard, and they actually showed it on ESPN. Wonderful channel, might I add, by the way. All the ladies should know, but anyway. Y'all like, boo. But he had a workout regimen. You know how he worked out? He ran up mountains. That's why when they said putt, he could outrun the cornerbacks. He could outrun the safety. He could outrun the DBs. It's because he had ripped his body into submission. And when they said hunt, he was gone. And when he caught the ball, you better hope you can catch him. And then once you catch him, he was a small guy. Then you had to hope you could get him down. Because that was his passion. Are you hearing me? And he played. He was older. Many wide receivers had dropped out and he still played because he said, this is my passion and I'm going to give it everything that I've got. Lord, help us. And what God wants us to do is say, God more than anything, God more than my marriage, God more than my children, more than my business, more than my bank account, more than my pleasure, more than my deer hunting, more than my golfing, I want Your presence more than anything this world can offer, because when I get Your presence, all the good things will flood my life. Jesus. Acts 1 verse 3. Listen to this. This is Jesus, of course, speaking of Him. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many fallible proofs. Now you know when it says passion, you know what He's talking about. He's talking about the cross that He bore for us. Guys, that was His passion. Wow. You know what that means, breaking that down? His passion was you. And He said, I love you so much. Whatever I have to put my body through for you, I'm willing to do it. If I have to be beaten with a cat of nine tails so cancer can be rebuked from your body, so be it. If I have to have my beard rinsed and be stripped basically half naked on a cross for people to laugh at me and mock at me just so that you can know me, so be it. If I have to come and be rejected of all mankind, have people tell me they love me and they want me in their life, and a few days later they're screaming in my ear saying, "Crucify Him," so be it. He was saying, "My passion is for you, and I'll do whatever I have to do to hold you in my arms because you are what I long for." Isn't that convicting? Very convicting. Because I'm going to stand up here with a microphone in my hand and tell you, I don't love Him enough. I love Him with all my heart, but I don't love Him enough. Can anybody say amen on that? I don't love Him enough. He went through that for me. And sometimes we get so busy, we have time for everything and everybody but Him. And He was whipped and scourged and beaten and crucified, left for dead, felt forsaken, and He said, "I'm doing this for you." That's why we can sing, "Oh, what a Savior." Come on, somebody. You know, I understand that I'm sure our love can never match His love because He's God and God is love, right? I understand that. But what this message is trying to do is to get us to go back to the starting block, to the place where we were so in awe of who He was, and take that and pull that back to the level of where you are and say, "God, help me to have that same awe. God, help me to have that same wonderful desire for You, and bring it to the level that I'm at right now and take it to a whole other notch and say, 'Jesus, let me have more of Your intoxicating love. Let me cry out to You more than ever before. May my heart be more pure for You. May my desires be more for You. May my lifestyle be more pleasing to You. May my family be more pleasing to You. May my bank account be more pleasing to You. May my business be more pleasing to You. May everything in my life please You more." And that don't happen just by coming to church on Sunday. Don't we wish it were that easy? Come to church and God say, "Zap. Church is good, Pastor. God bless you. Let's go home." But that will require nothing from us. You see, Jesus went through great expense so that we could even be in His presence. So what He's saying to us is, it's going to cost us something. You know, people that maybe you've come into contact with, maybe people, whatever, that you know have a great relationship with God, they didn't just wake up one day and have that. It's like one of my buddies said this week, the Scripture talks about glory to glory. He said that two-letter words is some big letters. Glory to glory. Meaning from here to where we are to there further where He is. That little two-letter word. Meaning it's going to cost something. Sometimes some pain. Sometimes some tears. Sometimes seeking God when you don't feel God. Come on now. You see, we're feelers, and thank God that we can feel God's presence, but more than feelers, we need to be believers, right? Because there's times you can't feel His presence, but He says, still press in. Right? Tomorrow morning when your alarm clock goes off 5 o'clock, you're not going to feel like going to work. If it's 5 o'clock or whatever time it is. Probably not going to feel like going to work, right? Y'all going to feel like going to work. Y'all are some great people. Great people. Wonderful. But listen to me. Not always going to feel it. And you see, that could be when it pleases God the most. When we say, "God, I don't feel nothing. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what's going on around me. But I'm still going to seek You." Amen? Let me move on. John 15, it talks about Jesus being the vine. Talked about us abiding in the vine, abiding in Him. It says that when we abide in Him, we shall have whatsoever we say. It talks about us abiding in Him and Him abiding in us. The act of abiding is basically just hanging out in God's presence. And see, what happens is we live in a society where our world is so fast-paced. Amen? You wake up and you
have your breakfast if you eat breakfast. And before you know it, it's 2 o'clock. Your day's already leaving. Abide means just to hang out. Sometimes in God's presence, not saying anything. Just sitting. Or standing, however you do. But you're just hanging out in His presence. Maybe you turn on some worship music. Close the door. Sit on the floor. Seek His face. Maybe at first you don't feel nothing, but before you know it, there's times you just, almost like you feel His arms be wrapped around you. And everything that's been pounding on your mind, all the stress of your busy days, your busy weeks, the pressure of the society that we live in, the presence begins, all that stuff begins to fall off of us. Because we began to be overwhelmed by His presence. Amen. We begin to saturate and soak in His presence. And in doing that, we touch a society. Luke 13, verse 34. Let me go there very quickly. I'm almost through. Almost through. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," this is words of Jesus, "which kills the prophets and stones them that are sent to thee." He said, "How often I would gather my children together, as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." I'm going to close by reading Revelation 2, verse 4. Listen to what it says. I'm going to read this to you in the Amplified because it really breaks it down for us. He says, "But I have this one charge to make against you, that you've left or abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love." Notice what he said, the love that you had at the first. The starting blocks, where we took off. Where we said, "God, the rest of my days is yours." And so we can even have that mentality and keep pressing forward, but still not walk in that first love mentality. And see, guys, this is something that takes great discipline in. And I'm working at this myself. Because the only way that we're going to build a breach for the generation and the generation to come is for us to have substance. It's for when they see us, they see the seek of God in our life. They see more than a church face. They don't see us at church in one way and see us at Walmart and a total different person. But they see a seek on us. They see a longing in our eyes. They see a passion in us. Like David, when David had sinned in Psalm 51 after he had sinned with Bathsheba, he prayed, "Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me." He was saying, "God, what I've done separated me from you, and I don't want it in my life." You see, that's why as Christians, when we get closer to God, we sin less. Amen. The sinning doesn't get more and more. It gets less and less. Because the closer we get, we see how holy and wonderful He is. And we look at ourselves and we say, "I've got to adjust this. I've got to change this about me because it doesn't look like you." That's why Jesus said they comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's because if we compare ourselves to our brother or our sister, there may be some parts in our life that are very strong where they're weak. But listen to me. Anytime you look at Jesus, no matter what part in our life is strong, we're still going to see room for improvement. Stand to your feet. Holy Spirit, sir, thank you for these wonderful people. For the privilege, Lord, to minister to them today. To be able to speak for you, it's a great privilege of mine, Lord. Lord, I pray you help us to go back to the starting block. For us to be more in awe of your presence than ever before. To love you more. To desire you more. To want you more. Amen. Got a few moments if you want to come up front of this altar and press into God, you've got time to do that. It's like 13 minutes for 10. You've got plenty of time. He said, Brother Shannon, I just want to press into Him. I just want to press into Him. I want to get in His presence. And this message, hear my heart, it's not saying that you're not seeking God. It's saying we need to seek God more. That's what I'm saying. We need to seek God more. Because no matter how much we love Him, we don't love Him enough. And that's not condemnation. Not at all. That's a challenge to take the next step. Thank you, Lord. Anybody want to come and pray this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Would you raise your hands and worship Him? Help us return to our first love. To where the fire and the passion burned within us. To where our heart was more for you than anything else. More for you than church. More for you even than our families. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.